In our Sunday mornings in the Word of God, we've been going through the book of Revelation. And so we're going to dive in there at this time. If you have your Bible, grab that. And if you need a Bible, there's Bibles right in the benches there. You will find it on our website, the link to all the previous lessons, as well as if you're watching on YouTube, you're going to find the link right there below the description. So we appreciate you tuning in today and appreciate each one gathered here in the sanctuary. Revelation chapter 15. This is where we've come to as we've been journeying through this mysterious book of end times. So much of the book of Revelation is still to come. It is future. And so today we are going to be in the shortest chapter. And all God's people said, amen, right? The shortest chapter in the book of Revelation. Just 8 verses. So notice here, as this chapter I've labeled the preface to the final judgments. The preface to the final judgments. Some sobering things, but some joyful things as well. So we're going to look at this text. I'm going to read the first 4 verses at this time. So chapter 15 here, beginning with verse 1. The Bible says, "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, 7 angels having the 7 last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we look for you to teach us these interesting, unique passages of Scripture. Lord, help us to understand and help us to make application that would be practical for each person's life. Holy Spirit, your help. You be our teacher. You guide me, O Lord. I commit myself to you in every way. Lord, we pray for our world. We know that in these last days in which we live, we see our world in great turmoil. There is such a turning away from truth itself. Lord, we pray for the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ in these days. Lord, we also pray internationally for the peace of Jerusalem. Lord, we thank you for your work continuing on in our world today. You have not forgotten. You have not missed the prayers of many a saint who seeks you and who prays for your will to be done, for your kingdom to come. Oh Lord, I pray that indeed we would be willing servants, that we would be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God today and in our lives going forward, to honor you, to follow you with obedience. And open the Scriptures to us now, we ask, in Jesus' name, amen. The Apostle John, one of the disciples of Jesus, is the one who God is using to pen the very words of the book of Revelation. John here writes about what he sees. God was opening John's eyes to see future things. He was seeing things that even to this point, 1900 and some years later, have still not been fulfilled. Everything in chapter 15 here has not been fulfilled. It's not even been started, one could argue in some ways, right? These are all future things that we are reading about in this chapter today, and in many of the chapters in the book of Revelation. And so John here, he is writing this about 60 years after Jesus ascended back to heaven in AD, the mid-ADs, 95 or so, 96. So here's John, and he is an old man. He's up in years. He walked with Jesus, but now 60 years have come and gone since that time. And he is an old man, but faithful to the Lord. In fact, as he pens these words, he is banished to a deserted island called Patmos. Why? Because he robbed a bank? Because he committed identity theft? No, no. Because of the testimony he had for Jesus. He was such a witness that they banished him to a deserted island where he could affect no one. Yeah, but you know what? God revealed the things of the revelation to John. This is the same John that penned the Gospel of John that bears his name and the three letters, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, that he wrote as well under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So here's John writing what he saw. And in this chapter, he's writing about the seven last plagues. Notice in verse 1, middle of the verse, it says, having the seven last plagues, these seven angels, for in them, we are told right here in the last part of verse 1, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. Wow. This is awesome. This is terrible in beyond description. And so we are going to learn a little bit about this. The Apostle John, first of all, though, as we get into verses 2 through 4, he sees a group of people. And these are actually, we're going to get into this in a moment, but these are tribulation saints, tribulation believers. Now, I want to help you understand where we're at. So we're going to look at a chart right now. So if you draw your attention to the chart here, I want you to notice this is a chart, just a simple chart of what the Bible teaches about really the whole world from beginning to end. We have the creation of the world recorded not only in Genesis, but also in many other passages. It records how God created the world in six literal days. The Bible tells us about the great flood that flooded the whole earth in Noah's day. About 4,000 years took place before the Lord Jesus Christ came as a little baby into this world and died on the cross. Now we are in the church age, and 2,000 years have passed. I don't know if we're here or if we're right here. I think we're kind of right here, actually. It is very soon. But you know what? We are looking for, oh, we'll zoom in. Thank you. Appreciate that. We're going to zoom in here, and we're going to see the rapture is what's next on God's calendar right here with the arrow indicating such. And then there will be the tribulation, which is 7 years. It's called in the Bible a week of years, a week of years. And that's very clear. And that is what's coming after the rapture. I believe the scripture clearly teaches the rapture of the church. Let's look at one passage. We're going to look at, right here on the screen, we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 and 17. The Bible says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. I first want you to notice the personal return of the Lord himself. You know, he sent many angels. I mean, it was Gabriel who made the announcement of Jesus' birth. But you know what? Jesus came and died on the cross personally. He didn't send an angel to do that. He gave his life for you, his own blood. That's a powerful indication of God's amazing care for each one of mankind. including you. And then we see also, so this is talking about the rapture, of the return of Christ for his church, for the believers at the end of this church age. And so the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. The word raptured is right there. That's what rapture means. It means to be caught up. And so the we which are alive and remain, so if Christ returned today, that would be those of us who know Christ. We would be caught up together with them, with those who've died knowing Jesus, that mentioned in the earlier verse, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And so this meeting in the air, going to be with the Lord Jesus, is what is indicated right here with the rapture. All right? So let's keep that in perspective. And then is going to be 7 years of the Great Tribulation. Right after the rapture, we'll start down here a time of great turmoil as all of the believers are taken out of this world. Satan is going to step up his game, if we can call it a game. He's going to step up his deceptions. The Antichrist is going to rise during this time. And we're going to look here at another passage from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Please notice this beginning with verse 7. I have it here for you on the screen. 2 Thessalonians 2 verses 7 beginning. The scripture says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Satan is already at work in this world. You and I well know that. Only he who now letteth, the word letteth or let means to restrain or to withhold. And so he who now letteth or restrains will restrain until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed. I believe this is referring here, the one who restrains is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells every believer, right? That's what God has promised. That's what the scripture clearly teaches. So the Holy Spirit is in this world through his people. We are the light of the world. Not because we are the light, but his light in us, right? We are the light of the world. When all the light is taken away, all that's left is a lot of wickedness and corruption. And so that is when what the Bible calls in this verse, that wicked will be revealed. Okay? And this is what the character in the scripture known as the Antichrist. Also, he's referred to as the beast. But this is none other than that individual, which the next verses will make it clear. So that wicked will be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. Now this fast forwards to the end of the tribulation, to his judgment. God wants us to know that wicked will be judged. And it makes that clear. Let's look at the next verse, verse 9. It says, even him, speaking of that wicked, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. So it's not Satan himself, but it's the one he's working through, which will be the Antichrist. And the false prophet, but the Antichrist. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So this wicked one, the Antichrist, is going to rise out of obscurity. He's going to rise to great power once all of God's people have been taken out of this world. Now, we got to go back to the scripture here in Revelation 15, because John writes not only in verse 1 about the seven angels with the seven last plagues of the wrath of God, the full wrath of God is being prepared. Notice verse 2 again. And I saw as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. He didn't say that it was a sea of glass, but that's how he described it. It looked like a glassy sea with some visual imagery of fire. Now, this is not judgment fire in any way, shape, or form. This is not hellfire in this specific passage. This is referring to just what John saw. And he actually is seeing believers standing on this glassy sea. Okay, so notice what it says. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast, that's another name for Antichrist, gotten the victory over the beast and over his image. You've heard of the image of the beast. You've heard of the mark of the beast. We've done a study on that. We won't be able to go into that here. But these ones that John sees on this glassy sea, they got the victory over the beast, over the image of the beast, over his mark, and middle of the verse, over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, on the glassy sea, having the harps of God. So they have harps. And they're singing. The next verse accounts how these martyred tribulation believers, say, why do you call them tribulation believers? Because every believer was taken in the rapture. And we entered the tribulation time, that 7-year period, with no believers. Not a single Christian. Genuine, anyway. Not a single one. There may be some churches still full with all their congregation. Seriously. But without Christ. They did not know him. But anyway, so at the beginning of the tribulation period, that 7 years, we enter with no believers. But the Bible tells us about countless people, thousands, hundreds of thousands, who will come to faith in Jesus during the tribulation period. Even though it's a short time, there will be many who will come to Christ. You know, I was thinking about this whole COVID thing, right? I was thinking here about how, you know, we think about COVID like as if it's gone on for 10 years, you know? It's like what? 15 months? Really? I mean, it wasn't all that long ago that we didn't even know what this thing was, right? We never heard of it. So it's interesting how much can happen in just a year and a half, right? Think about the 7 years of the tribulation. There's going to be a lot of people saved in the first few years of the 7 years. And the Bible tells us about them. We got to dive into it. Look at chapter 12, Revelation chapter 12. Please notice verse 10. Verse 10, this is describing the same group. It's just in an earlier passage. Verse 10 says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb." How did those tribulation believers overcome? Because they were so strong? No, by the blood of the Lamb. And notice the middle of verse 11, "And by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth." And I'll pause there in that reading. Let's go to chapter 7, back just a little bit to Revelation 7. Notice verse 9. 7 and verse 9. "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues," different languages, every different language, "stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders, and the four beasts," these four living creatures, "and fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these? Who are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they?" We'll get the answer right here in verse 14. Notice it. "And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Sinners washed in the blood. I know it's such a strange concept, right? But Jesus gave his life blood to cover our sin. And in the tribulation period, there are going to be thousands. I haven't even looked at all the references right here. Just a few. Thousands of believers, thousands of sinners who will come to Christ and believe on Jesus as their Messiah. And that's who John sees in our passage here in John in Revelation 15. That's who John sees on this sea of glass, this glassy sea. And they got the victory, middle of verse 2. They got the victory. And in verse 3, they're singing. Oh, friends, they came through horrific times in the tribulation. Of course, this hasn't happened yet. This is all future. This is all future. God is telling us the future. He's just laying it right out there. This is what's going to happen. And here's what they'll be singing. They haven't even gotten saved yet. And God already knows what they'll be singing when they're killed and get to heaven in the tribulation. I'll tell you what, our God knows the end from the beginning. He does. Oh, couldn't we trust him, right? Couldn't we just follow him and just, hey, even when it doesn't make sense and when things don't quite work as we think they should, but God knows the end from the beginning, we should trust him with our lives, with our futures. Well, God tells us what they were singing. They were singing the song of Moses. I don't have time to go into that song, but it's recorded in Exodus 15, the first part of that chapter. It's also recorded in Deuteronomy 32. And they are singing about, Moses was singing about the deliverance from Egypt and how God delivered them in the crossing of the Red Sea. That's what Moses was praising God for. Well, these martyred tribulation believers are singing. They didn't lose their song. All the trials of life, when they got to heaven, having given their lives for Jesus, even though these were all new believers. I mean, none of these arguably have been saved for but a few years. Or days, or weeks, but definitely not more than a few years. And they're singing. And they're singing praise to God. They did not lose their song. Oh friend, if you've allowed bitterness in your heart, that root of bitterness to spring up because of hardship or offenses, give it to Jesus. Take his grace. Let him heal you. Let him restore the joy of your salvation. Well, they're singing also the song of the Lamb. And we have just in this verse a little insight into what they were singing. Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee. For thy judgments are made manifest. They are just praising God. They are glorifying him. Lord, you are almighty. Lord, you do what is right. You are good. Have you realized that? God is good. Yes, he does allow trials. I'm thankful we as believers are not going through this, but we face trials, not like this, although it's stepping up. In our world, we've had brethren in Christ imprisoned for having their churches open just to the north of us, to our neighbor in Canada, province of Alberta, also Ontario. Many things. But you know what? God is faithful. We can trust him. Our time is gone. We're not going to be able to get to the end of the chapter, even though it was 8 verses. But how is it with you? Do you know the Savior? I don't know your heart. I can only look on the outward. But God's going to detail here of judgment and in the following chapters. Judgment at the end of the world. I shouldn't say the end of the world, at the end of the tribulation, because Christ is going to reign for 1,000 years after that. And then will come the end of the world and another great judgment called the Great White Throne in Revelation 20. But you know what? God knows the end from the beginning, and he cares about you. I may not even know your name. You might be tuning in online this morning. I don't know your name. You may be gathered here, and I'm not all that well acquainted with some of you. But God knows you, and he loves you. Friends, there is good news. Let's consider how much God loves us. He loves you. He gave his son, for God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a mighty God we have. Have you trusted Jesus? He's still taking sinners who come to him simply by faith. It's not about getting religious or trying to do better. It's about recognizing you're a sinner and that Jesus is the way of salvation, the only way. It's about calling on him. You know, there was a criminal hanging next to Jesus on the cross, and he got saved that day at the crucifixion. He got saved because he called on Jesus in those final moments, even of his death. He never had a chance to do right or make wrongs right that he had done. But we'll see him in heaven because he trusted Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, our Lord. If you'd like more information about how to be saved, you can ask. We've also got some materials on the table that talk more about how to be saved. You do that. You settle that. That would be a glad day. And that'll give you a song for all eternity.